mum's the word. But we're telling everyone. It's BOGO 50% off time at Designer Shoe Warehouse. Just in time for Mother's Day, buy any pair of shoes, get a second qualifying pair 50% off. Treat mom or yourself to the perfect spring styles from must-own brands. And hurry. Unlike a mother's love, this deal won't last forever. So make mom proud and score BOGO 50% off at your DSW store or DSW.com today.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
All right, so a lot to react to, including a Phillies victory last night, and they're now 17-13, which means they're on pace for 92 wins. That may surprise you, but those are the facts. And frankly, I expect that they'll play even better from here. So I got some bounce in my step related to the Phils. I'm curious if you do as well. Obviously, most of our calls this year have been negative in nature, and there has been an awful lot to be frustrated about. How do you net it out through the first month of the season? 215-592-9494 is today the Phils make the turn to May baseball. Let's go to Rick in Easton. Rick, good morning.
Good morning. So, you know, listen, I know it's not professional baseball, but I played for Plymouth White Marsh and I played for Westchester. And then, you know, they have very good programs. We won state titles and we even won East Coast conferences. I played first. I played third. Ben, you could have done it, and you know you could have, at those levels. I played first. I played third because catching made me a better first baseman. And I played right and left field when we had to. We had a lot of interchangeable parts. We're not asking Bryce Harper to pitch. We're not asking Rojas to play shortstop. We're asking Trey Turner, who's a heck of an athlete, who's played over 500 games at both positions, center field and shortstop, to give it up for the team and get out there and play. I know pro is a lot different, but not when you raise the level that these guys are at.
Yeah.
You've got to take one for the team. You've got to get out in the center field if it makes us a better team. Also, Ben, let me ask you a question.
Mm-hmm.
When we got to higher levels and a ground ball was hit to you, how many times were we told, don't put the ball back in your glove, throw the ball across the diamond? Can somebody please tell Alec Bohm to stop putting the ball back in the glove when these fast runners are burning down first base and they become safe? Where are the fundamentals?
Yeah, I think those types of things are so ingrained in the players. They get into these muscle memory, these habits, that it's sometimes during the heat of the game, it's just hard for them to get out of.
But they broke us at it at the high school and college levels. And if we didn't do it, Ben, we're running 5-10 miles punishment. And also, Trey Turner, he's got to know, how many times are we told, Ben, you got to know where you're going with the ball when the ball is hit to you. You know,
yeah.
We used to have an hour and a half of drills of just situational fungo bats. Okay, guys, first and third, less than two outs, less than one out. Know where you're going with the ball when the ball is hit to you. When that ball was hit to Turner the other night, he didn't know to go to the bag, to come home with the plate. How does that happen?
Yeah, I know. And it's not just the Phillies. Like, I've noticed this all around baseball. Like, these guys, it's not like they're anticipating what they're going to do with the ball. This ball is hit to my left. What am I doing? Hit to my right.
Let me interrupt you. I know you can't punish the pros and make them run 5-10 miles.
Right.
I get that. But you also, and they don't have time to do situational baseball. They do it in spring training, I'm sure. But I know it just frustrates me sometimes when you see these guys who are much better than we were in high school and college. They have to do a better job with the fundamentals.
I agree. And Rob Thompson was very open about that the other night. He said, we have to get better. We cannot keep giving these teams more outs.
Yeah.
We can't give them more than 27 outs. He said, that's what we're doing right now. We have to clean it up.
I mean, it almost blew the game 2 days ago.
Yeah.
That had to be 31
but
outs.
That was
minimal.
Refreshing to hear Rob Thompson say that. Like, we have to be better at this.
Yeah. Hey, Rick, give me an answer. There's so many big ones for who or what is overrated. You can win the Elvis Costello tickets. What do you do you got?
They cost way too much money. There's always family feuds, and half of them end in divorces. Weddings are overrated.
I agree.
Weddings are so
100%.
I love weddings. They're a blast.
It's the biggest waste of money.
Money-wise, but
oh,
they're fun to go to, man.
But okay, hold on.
They're fun to go to.
So I just want to be clear. I think what he's saying is the wedding celebration, not the marriage.
Yeah, just the wedding.
Yeah, the celebration.
Because I just want to make sure he's not making a statement on society like people get married, because that's also a wedding.
Yeah, he's saying the celebration and the costs that go with it.
It's a lot of money, man.
It's a lot of money.
Okay, Seltzer, you say thumbs up or thumbs down?
I say thumbs down. I think weddings are super fun.
A four-hour party?
It costs money. I think it's over expensive.
That's his point.
No, but overrated. I think a wedding itself is awesome. Like, weddings are not overrated. They are super fun.
All right,
who doesn't like going to a wedding?
No, but he's saying to spend the money. Rhea, acceptable?
But it's all part of the same thing. You spend the money for the fun. Like, Rhea, you're spending it for something.
What would you rather have, Rhea? 50 people, and it's the glam of the steaks and all that, okay, and the band. Or 200 friends and you're serving pizza.
Oh, God, 50. 50 people.
That's a tough call. 200 people.
I would want more casual.
200 people with pizza.
Oh, I like
50
pizza.
People with steak.
I like pizza, though.
Trying to mitigate the cost. Because what he's saying, James, which would you rather have? What he's saying is it's too expensive. Which would you rather have?
As long as there's music and alcohol, I'm good to go at a wedding.
There you go.
That's all I need.
I wanted a firehouse, a beef and beer. That's what I wanted.
But you didn't get that, did you?
Hell no. Hell no, I didn't get that.
John, but, which would you rather have?
Beef?
Well, I got steak, yeah.
That's nice. Yeah. Steak.
Yeah.
It's good work. Well, John, which would you rather
have? Surf and turf. I can't lose.
The cheap meal and more people, or the expensive meal and all the glitz and glamour with fewer people?
I think the more.
Because people have to make these decisions.
I'm going party.
The more, the merrier.
Yeah, it's all about a party.
All right,
get good music. That's what matters most.
Exactly.
215-592-9494. There was a big apology yesterday in sports. Let's play this. Jeff, how do you say his name? Albrecht. All right. So, holy mackerel. So, this is a defensive coordinator whose son stole the number from.
I played against him.
Good guy?
Pretty sure he was a backup.
You didn't have respect 49ers. For him then.
I had respect for him. He was tough.
Well, I've heard you off the air talk about certain people who were backups. Yeah.
I don't think you do or have.
James, are there a couple that come to mind that John is
it's mostly when
privately
they're kickers. That's really the ones that get demeaned. Yeah.
All right. So, look, I feel bad for this defensive coordinator. Not only does his son steal the number and you know, of course, the call to Shedeur Sanders, but then he gets fined, and the team gets fined by the league. Now, let me say, I support the league doing that. I think it's the right call.
Me too.
Because there should be.
How does he enforce this with the kid?
This work is it
100
off, kid.
Grand.
Work
How does
it
that
off.
Kid work 100 grand off?
100 grand.
It's 100 grand.
Paying
I mean, I don't
college.
Even know. I don't know how you ground a kid. I don't know how you take his phone away. I don't know how you force him to do the laundry and
John,
clean
you don't
the
pay
gutters
for his college.
Out.
If he's paying for his college, you just stop paying for his college.
I mean, I'll say this. If That's you really made him pay back 100 grand, that could take 10 years minimum.
Yeah.
I mean, minimum.
How old is this kid again?
21.
But it's just,
God, what a bad life decision.
Unreal.
All right, well, let's play the audio. Then I want to get Ben's assessment of how he would handle it as a father. I think it's one of the more fascinating questions this week. So Albrecht got fined yesterday. The team got fined. Obviously, there's a lot of public shame. He went public yesterday with an apology. I thought he did a great job. Here's what the defensive coordinator said.
I want to publicly apologize to Shedeur and the Sanders family for what occurred. Second of all, I want to publicly apologize to Mr. Blaine, Terry Fontenot, Raheem Morris, and the entire Falcons organization. My actions of not protecting confidential data were inexcusable. My son's actions were absolutely inexcusable. And for that, we are both deeply sorry. The NFL has taken action, and I fully respect the punishment. We take full responsibility, my son and myself, and we will not be appealing the fine in any way. Going forward, I promise my son and I will work hard to demonstrate we are better than this. Again, I'm deeply sorry for our actions.
Can't be more stand up than that. I mean, that's
accountable.
That's a 100 out of 100 as far as apologies go.
Did. Yeah.
So, Ben, what would you do, though? I've asked everyone this week. If you're the father of the 21-year-old, I mean, I know, let me just say this, murder is not an acceptable answer.
But it's considered.
What would you do if you
knock
had
a
21-year-old that pulled that?
God. That's a great question. It's a $1 million question. I just can't even imagine being in his shoes. How ashamed and embarrassed I would be.
You would be mortified.
I'd be mortified.
I know you would be.
Absolutely. And I don't really care what people think, but the fact that my child did that, I'd be ashamed and embarrassed.
It's also a reputation component within a league.
It's yes. The piling on and kicking someone when they're down part that that part didn't even occur to me initially. Like it was so poor, like in such poor taste, and so it felt so dirty. But the bullying aspect, it wasn't until we had someone, a caller, brought up the fact that it really is just piling on and hurting someone who's already hurt. And that's just, man, it's so unfair.
Yeah, how can you do that to another human being?
Yeah, right. That he felt like that's what he wanted
to do. And to have the audacity, the gall, to put it, to that the caller
film
said
it,
earlier, what's overrated? He said social media.
Yeah.
To put it out on social media, like you're that's funny.
I know.
What a loser.
You know what I'm struck by this week when I've asked everyone what you would do if it was your kid? I don't think anyone's really given a specific answer. Everyone shakes their head and says, there's so much going through my mind. I'm thinking. But I've been struck by how, I mean, a few things have been said. Make him pay for his own college. Pull him out of college.
But that's not realistic. How's a kid going to pay for his own college?
Kids do all the time.
Well, many do. Many do.
Okay, you're right. With loans and that sort
of course.
And that is absolutely, I think that's the realistic point
you
here.
Could.
Yes, you now must, take a harder path. Like, this is, I was going to help more.
Yeah.
Now I won't.
It's a wild situation, man. Yeah. Really is.
I just can't imagine.
And of course, you like to think your kid wouldn't do it. Most parents out there are saying, my kid wouldn't do it.
I'm sure they're shocked he did it.
Hopefully.
You know, hopefully this isn't. A lot of times you don't know what your kids, stupid things your kids are doing.
More often than not. Although sometimes there are parents that know you got knucklehead kids and you're trying your best to manage it.
My mom did.
I mean, they certainly weren't expecting him to do something like this.
I would say that is correct. All right, let's rock some calls here. 215-592-9494. So the Phils get the win. You get the apology from the defensive coordinator. And also more of Howie, what he said yesterday in that interview. We'll get to that shortly. Steve in Cherry Hill right now. Steve, good morning.
Hey, guys. Good morning.
Hi, Steve.
Yeah, I got a question for Ben. Ben, I went to the game last night. How bad is Washington? They had 6 left-handed batters against a lefty last night. They have no right-handed hitters?
They're very left-handed laden. Yeah, that's the way they're built. But they do okay against lefties. The top of that lineup is pretty. Abrams is really good. James Wood is going to be a beast. That guy's huge. They got some guys in that lineup that can swing it. They're very aggressive, but they just don't have a whole lot of righties.
Yeah, I think Walker's going to come back to reality tonight. A great night, and I think the ball's going to be hitting out of the park tonight. So I think he's set up for a nasty game. So.
Wow, a nasty game.
We'll see.
They are. I've been wrong before.
Steve, what's the good news? There's two good news on Taiwan. What is it, Steve?
Good news on Taiwan?
Uh-huh.
They're playing a bad team.
Nope.
Good news,
number one, he's pitched better than we expected. Good news, number two, this should be his last start.
You're not right.
Yeah, it's
because Ranger, like the Lone Ranger, rides back in this weekend.
Bingo. So my answer for today, overrated, and I think it's up there, caviar.
You know, I certainly don't dig it. I mean, I know people get it, and it's really expensive. John, have you had it?
I have had it, and I love fish. I'm a huge fan of fish. I don't think caviar is all that.
I tried it once, and it was somewhere like recent, like maybe in the last year or two. Yeah. It was the first time I'd ever had it. I was afraid, and my friends made me try it, and I was like, well, this is actually kind of good.
Well, okay.
So I was shocked.
I'll give you something.
I think fish with it. I mean, I catch trout with salmon roe. Like I don't sit there and pop the salmon roe in my mouth while I'm fishing.
Right.
It really is the same thing. I think it's gross. It's bait. Like, it is bait. fishing bait. Okay. I don't choose to eat that.
Well, yeah, I wouldn't either. One thing I think is overrated, and it's kind of a big part of society, I don't dig champagne at all.
I'm not a big champagne.
Like, I mean, if I do the sip, sometimes I do, sometimes I don't. It's a sip. And then I just put it down or hand it to someone else. Like, I never finish the glass
of champagne.
I like
it. It just gives me heartburn, so I just don't drink it as
much. Do you think it tastes good?
I like the taste. I do like the taste of champagne. It just always gives me heartburn now. Like, I can't drink it without getting heartburn.
That bubbly thing does nothing for me. But anyway.
You drink soda, though, don't you?
Yeah, but I don't have a negative reaction. Champagne.
I don't like the bubbles. I would prefer that everything, champagne, soda, I want it all flat.
Yeah, that's really weird.
I shake up my soda.
I know you do.
And twist the cap so it gets flat.
I have to turn away when you do it because it upsets me so much.
So I can make it flat.
Ew.
When I watch you shake it up, like I can't, it upsets me.
Oh, man.
I despise the bubbles. What's the point?
That is a weird thing.
The pitch on the way. Swinging a ground ball to short, Turner, he's up with it. Sets his feet, throws to first, ball game's over. Perfect night for the Phillies bullpen. 12 up, 12 down in relief of Christopher Sanchez. The Phillies hit three home runs, and all of it adding up to a 7-2 win. The Phillies, fourth win in a row as they take yet another series.
Well, the rare ho-hum, clean, no one's on the edge of their seat with trepidation Phillies victory this
pedestrian.
Year. Pedestrian. And I don't mean to say not good,
no,
but
no.
It's just we were relaxed last night. So the Phillies got it done, obviously. Took that lead early, and obviously the pitching staff held it the whole game. Phillies win 7-2. Nice job by the Phillies. By the way, Twitter poll question of the day. It's brought to us by Armin Chevrolet. Check out Armin's certified one-owner pre-owned pickup truck trucks at and SUVs at ArminChevy.com. That's ArminChevy.com. Together, let's drive. Poll question, which playoff have you been enjoying more? Is it the NBA, the NHL, or not watching either? We will get to something that Howie Roseman said about Jalen Hurts yesterday. We'll get to that shortly. Two situations from sports yesterday that were horrendous. One is a Pittsburgh Pirate fan fell out of the stands.
It's one of the worst things I've ever seen.
It's so upsetting.
And fell onto the field. He is currently alive, but in critical condition. The guy fell out of it. And Ben, you know, sometimes those are low railings.
20 feet, apparently.
Well, the Clemente wall is 21 feet.
21, yeah.
Because that was Roberto's number. And I watching that is so disturbing.
Yeah. I mean, it's
just horrific.
And it was a McCutcheon double, right?
Yeah.
So, you know.
It was out to left field. Oh. I don't know what was going on there, but
apparently he was, you know, a little imbibed. And apparently, so from what, like, there have been reports and stuff, but apparently he was, like, so excited with the hit, he kind of jumped up too quickly and kind of launched himself over. Because you could see in the video him trying to catch himself at the end. It's horrifying.
All right, so that was horrible. Here's the other one from the world of football. So it's not the player that we love who died, but it's one of his friends, John. One of John Elway's best friends died in a golf cart accident.
His agent, too, I believe. Yeah.
Elway was driving. So this happened earlier in the week, but the guy died yesterday. Elway was driving a golf cart, and somehow the guy, and reports are that Elway wasn't screwing around, which some people do with golf carts. And I don't know if it's true or not, but what I have read on the situation is that because, you know, sometimes you can hit a bump. I mean, Ben, you play a lot of golf. Mm-hmm. You know, you can go around an edge, you can hit a bump. The guy in the side thing might be drunk. Anything's possible.
Yeah.
And so somehow, and it does happen sometimes, Elway's really good friend falls out of the cart, hits his head, and like a day later dies.
Mm. That's horrible.
It's horrible.
Horrendous.
And by the way, Elway and the friend were golfing, obviously, but the couples, they had just been all together, the four, Elway, his wife, this guy and his wife, they were all hanging out together. So now Elway's got to, like, go back and tell the wife, like, your husband is lying here, and then he died. Mm. Horrendous situation. Wow. Horrendous.
Just never know.
No, you're right, Ben.
You'd never know.
You do never know.
Ugh,
that's exactly right. 215-592-9494. All right, let's go from a real downer there with those two to something that was pretty cool. So I had referenced earlier that the great George Wendt, otherwise known as Norm, from Cheers, gave me a birthday greeting over the weekend. Because Amy from Villanova, through the Cameo system, tracked him down. Tried to get Elizabeth's show, which would have been great. I mean,
that would have been something.
Oh, my God.
And I appreciate Amy going for it. Like, that's cool.
It's pretty
strong.
Cool. So she gets George Wendt to give me a birthday greeting. Now, I'm curious your interpretation of George Wendt on John Ritchie. Now, let me just set the scene here. What you're going to hear is about a minute of audio. George Wendt is at times looking into the camera, but more often than not, he is looking at notes that Amy provided. I guess that's the way it works. So you get to provide notes for the person.
Oh.
So he's looking at notes. Obviously, your name is written down there, John. And some other stuff is written down. So you'll hear George Wendt commenting on what he's reading while wishing me happy birthday. And I'm curious if your reaction to George Wendt on John is the same reaction I have. Because Amy laid it out. You know, Joe's co-host, John Ritchie, former fullback, Eagles, Raiders, whole deal. All right, let's listen to, who is it? Norm!
Okay, who had more wins, Sam Malone or the Hammer? Who cares? Give me another beer. Joe, this is your old pal George Wendt here, and I'm wishing you a happy birthday. Oh my gosh. Morning sports guy on Philly Sportsnet. Wow. Hello. You are royalty, dude. So you're the Cliff Clavin of sports, apparently. And Joe is, his partner. Hang on. Okay. You're known as the Hammer. You get ripped by callers for taking baths and not knowing how many wings a chicken has. And, Joe also thinks he will run and win the presidency. Wow. Go for it, dude. Happy birthday, Joe. Cheers, young man.
Drinking a beer.
That's great at the end. Cheers, young man, is strong.
Drinking a beer, holding a beer the whole time. All right. So.
I have a thought outside of the Ritchie thing after.
All right. Well, give me your first thought.
The music. I mean, was that purposeful?
Yes.
That is the song that when you lose.
Amy requested that.
Oh. Way to go, Amy.
See, I was confused.
Go, Amy. Like, you rule, man.
And way to go, George Wendt, actually doing it.
Like that, he actually put the music on. Yeah, that's cool.
Because that's not
really
dubbed
cool.
In. He didn't do it in his home.
That's very cool that he did that.
He played it in the background. All right.
Was it the first time he was reading it? It seemed like he was.
Probably
like,
for the first time.
It was the. That was
I'm
the
guessing
dress
he doesn't
rehearsal.
Put hours of work into these.
No.
Yeah. That's what it sounded like to
that
me.
That was the dress rehearsal. And you know, like, so that was my impression.
All right. Any thoughts on the Ritchie thing?
Was there just the ignoring of John Ritchie? Is that what you're talking about?
So here's what happened, as I interpret it.
He thought he was talking to John.
No. He's reading through the scroll of what was written. And she had, you know, Joe's partner, you know, John Ritchie, Eagles, Raiders fullback. And he gets, because he's reading, you can tell he's reading through the line. I mean, you can essentially tell, because he's reading stuff, Cliff Clavin, sports trivia, blah, blah, blah. All right. So he gets, all right, your partner. And he pauses. And my theory is, John, he saw your name and didn't know who you are. That's my theory. Because he goes, your partner. And then the name John Ritchie is written because Amy said it, but he skips over it, which gives me the impression. And I'm not trying to burst your bubble, John. I just think George Wendt maybe doesn't remember you.
I don't think John Ritchie would expect you.
I can't imagine that.
Well, he played in the Super Bowl. I mean, he played for great teams with the Raiders and Eagles.
If George Wendt isn't a big football fan?
He's the Bears guy.
That doesn't mean he's a big football fan.
He's from Chicago.
Ben, did you get that impression?
Not so much.
I didn't think about that for a moment.
No, I didn't think about that at all.
You're overthinking this, though.
All right, here's the deal. James, get Lewis to isolate just that audio. We'll play like that because he's talking about the show. He's talking about the show and the notes that were there. We'll drill down on that, and you be the judge again. Let's go to the phones. Anyway, it was very cool. I mean, Norm giving me a birthday.
It was cool. Yeah, that was a lot of Norm talking. Like, that was just really
it's Norm.
A lot of Norm.
Yeah. What do you like better, West Wing or Cheers?
Man.
Well, it's West Wing, right? I mean,
he's watched West Wing
I don't know about
17
that, James.
Times.
Wow, really?
Yeah.
This
Cheers.
Is like monumental here.
How many times
phenomenal.
Have you watched Cheers?
Well, so it's three this decade.
Three.
But it was many episodes upon episodes as a kid.
Okay, you've watched The West Wing how many times?
19.
So I think
Yeah.
The prosecution rests.
Yeah. Yeah, we win. It's over.
I don't know, man. I don't know.
19 times, the whole thing.
The whole thing.
It's a series.
That's a problem.
It's seven seasons.
Seven seasons.
Yeah. It's 44 and a half.
22 episodes.
Times 22 times seven.
Times 44 and a half minutes per episode. It's horrible.
That's a problem.
And and the problem is, no, the most horrible
It's horrible
part,
when you start in round 20.
Exactly. He's going to do it again.
Oh, of course he is.
Then again.
I'm surprised he hasn't started 20 yet.
Let's go to the phones. All right, Howie on Jalen Hurts and Rob Thompson on the Lido spot. We'll get to both of them shortly. Let's talk to Chuck in Cherry Hill. Chuck, good morning.
I'm up. Good morning. How you doing, guys?
Good, buddy.
Hi, Chuck.
Yeah, that fan falling yesterday. Man, how tragic. But, you know, when you look at how they reach for balls, and, of course, we know a lot of people enjoy alcohol during games, you're kind of surprised that hasn't happened more, thank God, right?
I would agree with that. The thing that really, Chuck, there's one thing about sports and fans that has shocked me more than anything, and it's not going to happen now, basically. I cannot believe all the years until they put the nets up that people weren't dying with line drives.
Yeah, same. It's always shocked me.
I mean, there's heads everywhere.
Well, especially the whatever, 10 years in between phones being super popular and the nets not being up. Like, everyone's looking at their phones all the time. Like,
totally.
I can't believe it didn't happen more.
I mean, a line drive from a lefty to the right side or a righty to the other side, if I'm getting this right. No, well, you know what I'm saying.
Yeah.
I mean, wicked.
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 We'd be in a third base dugout, and Ichiro was up, and the whole dugout would be at one end because it was, you knew inevitably we'd get a line drive from his bat because he would wait so late and just spray one in there. It would just wipe the dugout out.
And, Ben, if that thing hits you in the head, man, we're
on high alert.
You could die.
We are on high alert. And I can't believe it took them this long to put the nets up.
Yeah, I agree with you.
God, they put them up.
Yeah.
Joe, we always made sure the kids at the vet were to our right. Not that we were going to catch every ball the way you're talking about. But the kids, the twins and Chad, were always to our right. And then
give you a chance,
talking. Guys, look at the game. Stop talking. Look at it.
But there's also food. You're putting mustard on your hot dog. You know, like
you're going to the game with friends, and you're looking at your friend for a moment while you're talking to them. Like, it's, you know.
And remember, that little girl died in hockey about 15 years ago. She, I think, was 12 years old. That's when hockey put up the netting. And that's another serious projectile coming at you, man. The baseball and the puck are brutal if they hit you in the head. Brutal.
Well, that's for sure. God bless. So just two quick points. When you were, I think it was Ken who was talking about Schwarber earlier, and when you set the benchmark for him, you're starting with 100 runs and 100 RBIs last year. That's really, really good. So can you duplicate that? This is unbelievable. If you just do simple math, you take the number of games played and you divide it out, RBIs runs per game ratio compared to last year, he's actually tracking right now substantially ahead. So he could be like 110 and 110.
Wait, in which category?
Right,
RBIs?
In RBIs and runs. It's unbelievable. Well, yeah, so he's doing better than last year.
My guess is that has more to do with people getting on in front of him then, because he has not been very effective.
Your Honor, I did that math. It's 371 base percentage in front of him. That's remarkable, isn't it? Right? That's pretty good.
Well, yeah. I mean, Trey, who hit in front of him quite a bit last year, was not that last year. So
now there's an economic indicator that applies to baseball, and it's the one I look at all the time. Of course, I'm happy with the record, and they project 92 and all that stuff. But they're 6-7 against 500 competition, while other teams are 18-10 and 17-12. Yada yada yada.
You understand?
And
I have to get my. Is it called an abacus? What's that thing?
Abacus.
Abacus. Abacus. No L. Abacus.
Chuck, when you talk, I mean, it's like, I don't know what to do here, man. I'm overwhelmed. I feel like I'm taking the SAT math section.
No, that's St. Joe Prep.
All I said was they're 6-7 against 500.
Yeah, that wasn't that confusing.
Joe, come on.
Well, you're giving me an on base with this, and then compared to last year.
On base is a tough one, huh?
And they got an RBI projection of 120.
Oh, wow, RBI, those are tough to figure out.
I mean, it was a lot of numbers. I'm not going to lie.
I think I've toned it down because James told me to, so I think I've done a pretty decent job.
You have, Chuck. I'm playing around, buddy.
Anyway, notice what the team's record is without Marsh's 076 batting average. he'll come back, and then we're going to try to put him back in.
Chuck, hold on. Batting average might be a little much for Joe.
Might
it's
be.
A little,
yeah.
You know, so, mathy.
Right, right, yeah, wait, real quick, can we say, I think it's a fact, Marsh did finish the month without a hit, right?
Yeah. Oh, wow. Yeah, I guess so.
Wow.
Right?
It's crazy.
I think you're right.
I think what we should be most excited about, I know he did say it yesterday, so I'd be redundant, but Stott and Rojas, with their batting averages right now, man, if they can maintain that, that is unbelievable. For what it means
the Rojas thing to me is shocking, but it's a good development. That's Chuck, give me an answer. Who or what is overrated?
You know, I was going to say, man, let me just kind of make it a compound thing here. My answer would be TV soccer. I just still can't watch, okay?
TV soccer. Well, you know, it's not exactly my thing, but the World Cup is cool. You know, World Cup's cool.
You watching?
Well,
when it comes around again.
Yeah, I dig the World Cup.
It's going to be here.
Yeah, it's coming here.
We got a lot coming here, so
yeah, and it's going to be a big year.
So what else we got?
We got the All-Star Game, baseball All-Star Game.
Mm-hmm. Next year?
Next 2026, remember?
Yep, that's what I thought. And am I missing something else?
I don't know.
Well,
I
mean, NBA Finals with Joel.
Oh, yeah, of course.
Probably an NFC Championship game.
Of course, yeah. I mean, the 250-year celebration of stuff going on here, right? I would think.
So
what is that called?
Oh, man. I don't know. I think we're going to get so shortchanged. Here's my theory. We're going to have a big thing around 1 o'clock in the afternoon on July 4th, 2026.
What makes you think this?
And because then they'll go down to D.C., and it'll all be D.C., and we're going to get completely jobbed.
Shortchanged.
Shortchanged.
Yeah.
Why do you think that?
We were the home base at 76 for 200.
So let's make sure that we feature us.
It should be at Independence Hall.
I like you going 76 there.
Yeah.
Like, no, but instead of 1776.
No, 1976.
No,
that's what I'm saying.
I got you. I thought you were talking the home base in 1776.
In 1976, we were the spot. And my prediction is, in next year, July 4th, it's going to be D.C. focused. And that's going to tick me off.
Why? If we were the spot the last time around.
We just get shortchanged, man.
Okay, I don't expect that we will. This is a huge
deal. No, we probably will.
I'll make you a $10 bet.
Philadelphia is all that.
I'll make you a $10 bet that the national celebration at nighttime, the main national celebration at nighttime, is in D.C.
I agree with you.
John, $10 bet. You taking it or not?
No, I really don't know.
Okay,
no,
back down.
It really seems
look at
like
this wuss. He makes a comment.
It's a dumb bet.
John wuss.
I don't want to do that.
A little wussy.
It's a dumb bet.
A little wussy.
Get back down a little bit.
That the broadcast will be in D.C. for the sesquicentennial.
Fair enough. Just,
is that what it is? Sesquicentennial?
I'm just guessing.
I'm glad this guy wasn't on Nickelodeon 30 years ago with Mark Summers. He wouldn't have taken the physical challenge. I mean, come on.
We've got slimes.
How great was that? Ben, were you into that as a kid? Nickelodeon, Mark Summers?
Not really, no.
Double Dare?
No.
Come on.
Oh,
no.
Man.
The thing in the wheel, the hamster wheel?
No.
The
best. Not out.
Oh, it was
not into
it. Was glorious.
I didn't watch it.
Philly's own Mark Summers.
I know what sliming means. I know that was awesome to watch when you would see like a like a regular actor get slimed on.
Yeah, it's a big deal
At the Nickelodeon Awards and stuff.
Absolutely.
But I wasn't on top of it. Were you on top of that?
I was
like
in that
was
range.
Meshing with your age.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah, that was. I was right there for that.
Good for you.
All right, Rob Thompson sets the lineup. And obviously, we've had three different leadoff hitters used this year. But it's, you know, generally one of the lefties. And in this case, Stott lately and then Trey. That's the way they do it. I want to play some audio for you of Rob Thompson after the game last night. I tend to think that Rob Thompson misinterpreted the question. I could be wrong. You be the judge if he interpreted the question right, because he gives an endorsement to Stott that I'm not quite sure he meant to make, but maybe he did. Rob Thompson last night after the game, Stott has played well lately. Here's his answer about Stott in the leadoff spot.
Bryson Stott looked real good in the leadoff spot again. Is there a chance he's going to get more opportunities against left-handed pitching in that role?
I think so, but I still want to keep Sosa going, you know, and Wilson and those bench guys. But he's swinging the bat great, and he's getting on base.
So the question was about leadoff spot against lefties in that role. And he said, I think so, which makes you think the next time they face a left-handed pitcher, Stott could lead off. But then he starts talking about these bench guys.
He clearly misinterpreted it.
He missed
I think
the
he
in
meant
that role,
Stott's
right?
just going to get more shots against lefties, period, is what he heard.
You agree, Ben?
Yes. That's what I think was the case.
He missed the last phrase.
Right.
Yeah. Okay, I just wanted to clear that up.
And I think they really found something here with Stott at the top.
Oh, how about that?
Yeah.
John is so ready to puff his chest. He was Mr. Pro Bryson Stott February and March leadoff guy. You know,
I mean,
he,
I still think that Kyle Schwarber is the best leadoff man for this ball
club. I do too.
But Bryce Harper needs protection. It's more about the protection for Harper than it is about Schwarber leading off.
Well, the irony is Bryce hasn't done anything since Schwarber got there.
No.
That's right when Bryce started tailing off. And look, those things happen in baseball. But I get your theory that it should help Bryce and probably will. John, the irony to Bryson Stott getting in a leadoff spot, the reason he got there is because Bohm stunk in 3-4.
Yeah, it
had nothing to do with Schwarber messing up. It was Bohm was messing up. I mean, that's how the whole thing happened. And then Castellanos said, like, what, two or three games into 3-4. That didn't work out. And then Topper's like, all right, he's down to 5. I got to have 4 guys bat in the top 4. He's like, all right, Stott, get up there. That's how it happened. But to Stott's credit, man, he's answered the bell.
Taking the opportunity and running with it. And it really is. Like, last year was an anomaly.
He was
that
hurt.
Injury was everything. Mm-hmm. And he really is that good. It's so cool to me. It bothered me when I would watch him watch that thing the whole way into the glove initially. But then I thought, you know what? This is unique. Like, he really does have an additional level of confidence and, like, mastery and understanding of what's to come, what to expect. I do feel like this kid is a baseball head.
He's got good instincts.
Great instincts.
He does.
His IQ is up there.
Yeah, which, I mean, you can see it. It's just exuding.
Yeah, I agree with that.
That's
why he's a good leader.
Yeah, the thing that he does the best, and I said on the post-game show last night, he knows himself. Now, Charlie always says, know thyself.
Yep.
This guy knows himself. We as athletes, if we do something good, next time we want to make it better. Like, if I went up and hit a 450-foot home run, next time up, I want to hit one 475. Why? That swing was good enough to hit you one 450. It doesn't need to get any better. Stott knows himself. He doesn't go outside those parameters. He stays within himself. He'll hit the ball the other way. He'll pull a ball down the line if
it's in. As evidenced by the fact that he went to the no-step approach right away. Yeah. I mean, he was sort of the front runner for that. Well, wait, maybe Bryce was. Bryce started doing the no-step.
With two strikes.
Yeah. And then Bryson took it and elevated it.
Yeah, he does it every time.
Yeah, making it his signature. But he took a little page out of Bryce's book and improved on it. Again, I think they're both baseball hits. I don't know. I don't know the details.
You know what strikes me big time, James? I think this will resonate with you. 8 years ago when we started our program.
I was thinking the same thing just
John
now.
John Ritchie didn't know how many innings were in a baseball game.
Totally, dude. He's talking stances. I was thinking the exact same thing right there, ironically.
It's impressive. I never, ever watched baseball, ever. It was only football.
Right, so, Ben, I got to tell you a story. I think we can say this one on the air. Yeah, this is one of those things we kept off the air for a while because we don't want to make John look bad. I mean, John looks bad. Show looks bad. And I got nothing but love for John. I say this with all love and joking. First year, first month or two. Because, John, to your point, you really didn't know about baseball.
I knew nothing. I knew less than nothing. Yeah. I never played it. I never watched a second.
Yeah. So, Ben, before a show one time, not on the air, but before a show, early months of our program, John asked us off the air. The Phillies had taken a player out the night before. Let's just say sixth inning, seventh inning. John said, well, why didn't they put him back in?
Oh, yeah, I remember that. I forgot about that.
Wait, what? What are we dealing with here? So John is.
I mean, I still
come
think
away.
Well, that's a weird
his,
rule.
But, to his credit, I think that in the 8 years of doing our show, John Ritchie has watched more Phillies games than anyone on, like, he has watched 8 years of, he never misses a pitch. Like, he is so dedicated to watching every second of baseball.
It's impressive,
To his credit, though, every other sport you can go back in.
Right.
Soccer, football, basketball.
Not soccer. No, soccer, once you're out, I think you're out.
No, you can come back in.
No, soccer, you're out. Joe's right.
Yeah, World
really?
Cup. Well, that's the only thing I watch
is
World Cup.
Yeah, soccer, you can't go in and out in soccer.
Yeah, soccer, you're out.
Joe, do you know why people play soccer?
Here we go. Dad joke. Why do people play
soccer? We all knew it was a dad joke coming.
I don't, Ben. Why?
So they don't have to watch it.
Oh, that's pretty good. Let's get to Joe and Yaden right now. I like that one.
That is pretty good.
Joseph, good morning.
Top of the morning to you. And Hammerhead.
And the rest of the day to you, lad.
Hammerhead. Thank you very much. Appreciate that. One thing regarding the three people I can't stand, dislike. That would be the Sanders, father-son, Aaron Rodgers, and the Fly James. I'm so thrilled that the flop is out of the playoffs. I can't see him as a player.
I'm kind of bummed. I mean, listen, I go back and forth in LeBron. I mean, he's an all-time all-timer, and it would have been, I think, fun to see him play longer in this thing. But they got smoked, man. Look, they don't have a ton around those two, and obviously LeBron's not what he used to be.
They don't have a coach.
Maybe.
I mean, I don't know. He's never coached at any level.
Yeah, that's true.
And what LeBron's kind of like a coach.
But I'll also say this. Can anyone name who the third best player in the Lakers is?
I mean, it's Austin Reeves.
I mean, what is that?
Come on, Mr. Fantasy Basketball.
Come on, Joe.
These are rhetorical questions, James. The point is, what is that?
You're not a big Rory Hachimura fan?
From his days with the Wizards. I think the Sixers smoked him in that playoff series a couple years back. All right, go ahead, Joe.
That playoff series?
Yeah, well, they played them once.
LeBron James, you need players around you. Okay, I don't care how great you are.
Yeah.
That's simple. And it happened with Miami. Okay, he had great players around him. And in Cleveland. And he left there and left there and he went to the Lakers. So, okay, I'll be fine. Then they did this one-sided trade with
the Mavs.
Yeah. Yeah, and if it all worked,
to be fair, Joe, the guy's 40 years old, man. I mean,
I couldn't agree more. You're right.
So stop playing.
Well, look, I don't know, man. People are very split on LeBron. I'm split on LeBron. I mean, I'm both pro LeBron and anti LeBron. Different twists and turns. Would you agree with that, John?
How are you both?
Right. I mean, don't you feel like there's times you're a fan and then times you're not a fan?
Sure. I mean, I hated the way he sat up there and looked so pompous with the counting off, not one, not two, not three. Some of that stuff. But I think in the grand scheme of things, I have so much reverence for the way he's conducted himself from the time he was a 13-year-old
But in
kid.
Some ways, like, he's no criminal,
in,
no nonsense like
in
that.
In all the
but
big
then,
ways,
but, well, but the,
he's been really stand-up.
But he's hurt the league so dramatically.
That
with,
part wasn't intentional to that
no, it,
degree.
But it wasn't. He wanted the power in the players' hands, and he's gotten it, and it's hurt the league.
And if I, as a player, if I could have wrestled away power for my, you know, my players, my fellow NFL players, if I could have taken some of that power back, I sure would have. Well, I would have tried.
I'm just telling you, I'm split on him.
He did.
All right, Joe, give me an answer, my man. Who or what is overrated?
Before I answer, do you actually follow the NBA playoffs, all of you, or no?
Yeah, a little bit, sure.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Okay, I follow hockey.
Well, I do. I follow that as well.
Okay.
How about Ovechkin advancing last night?
30 postseason power play goals.
Well, listen, he really is.
Ridiculous.
So I feel like 5-7 years ago, Crosby was the more.
Without a doubt.
Is Ovechkin now more historically great than Crosby?
Yeah. Hmm. Because Crosby's got more cups.
So Crosby won three cups, I think. Ovechkin's won one. But man, Ovechkin's been better longer.
Longer. And that's the key. I mean, I think that.
And he's got the record.
Crosby at his height was probably a better all-around hockey player.
Probably.
But I think that,
that's an interesting battle.
Yeah, it is. I think Ovechkin has overtaken him, though. I do.
And a bigger brat.
wait, Crosby is your saying. Yes, right, okay. Yes. Yeah, exactly. Joe, I need an answer. Who or what is overrated?
Well, actually, the NBA, it's watered down like the hammer.
All right. Well, so the NBA thing, I mean, I don't know about it overrated because we've talked so much about the issues it's got. All right, coming up in a minute, Howie Roseman weighed in yesterday about Jalen Hurts after winning the Super Bowl and what's up ahead. You'll hear that in 1 minute.
Mother's Day is coming soon on May 11th, and trust me, you don't want to miss it. It's also one of the busiest days of the year at restaurants. This year, skip the insanely busy, overpriced fixed menus at the restaurant and show mom you love her with a meal prepared by you from Wild Fork Foods. Not a cook. Not a problem. Wild Fork makes it so easy to serve mom a delicious meal with their pre-made options. Start by serving a shrimp cocktail appetizer with Wild Fork's fully cooked, peeled, and deveined large shrimp. For the main course, she'll love the short rib ravioli or super lump crab cakes, which pairs so well with one of their newest dishes, the creamy risotto. This Italian dish elevates the meal to a whole new level. Wild Fork even has you covered for dessert with a couple different kinds of chocolate lava cakes and a raging debate in my house as to which is better. Creme brulee, New York style cheesecake. It's amazing. Make Mother's Day memorable this year with the help of Wild Fork. Visit their Neshaminy store or one of their other greater Philadelphia locations, or shop online for same day delivery. Visit wildforkfoods.com today.
All right, Jetta Cameron, John Ritchie. We got a packed house today with Ben, James, and Rhea here. Wonderful to have you with us as well. Twitter poll question here. The NBA and NHL playoffs just came up. We got a poll related to it, brought to us by Armin Chevrolet. Check out Armin's certified one-owner pre-owned pickup trucks and SUVs at ArminChevy.com. That's ArminChevy.com together. Let's drive. Poll question, which playoff have you been enjoying more? Is it the NBA, the NHL, or Choice C, not watching either? By the way, Ben, question for you, because we talked about this about 2 weeks ago on the show, maybe a month ago. We had a poll question. I'm curious how you would vote on this.
Mm-hmm.
More likely to make the playoffs next year, Sixers or Flyers?
Flyers.
Joel can't answer the bell. Because if he answers the bell, then they obviously should make the playoffs and are much more likely. Like, if you get even 60 games out of Joel.
You ain't getting 60.
You're probably... You're probably right.
60.
No, you're 60.
Well, my point is that's the pathway to the playoffs. I think you're right. He will not play 60 is my guess. But so do the Flyers start trying?
Yeah. I think they kind of have to.
Rhea, you're getting frustrated too, right?
100%.
They have to.
How many years can you sit out?
No, you can't. And they have so many picks. Like, I just,
I'm afraid they're going to sit out another year.
They cannot.
They can't.
No.
They can't.
Well, they can.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, guys, 2 years in a row, they were right near a playoff spot at the trade deadline and traded all these players. Like, that's sitting out.
Yeah.
Remember, Jonesy came on our show and said, don't be surprised if we trade away guys right before that.
I mean, two years in a row. At the trade deadline. Let's trade all our good players.
But they finally have something they can build around.
Yeah, but I fear they might not think they have enough to start going for it. Let's have another year.
Do we have a goalie yet?
Listen.
Kind of need one of those.
Carter Hart killed him.
Unbelievable.
He killed them.
Is just such a train wreck.
I mean, because he was starting to play bad before he was exited.
Yeah.
But the whole thing, you know, not
Joel
good.
Joel Embiid, what happens if he's healthy?
He probably won't be, though, John. He just...
Hey, I mean, this last season, you know, the wear and tear was minimal.
Well,
he got a surgery.
Yeah,
we don't think the surgery fixed exactly everything, but if it's better, and
look, I guess we're gonna know by mid October. Can he play or not? I mean, I think it's not gonna take long to get a sense of has he rediscovered the fountain of health or not.
Was that elective surgery?
Which one?
The most recent one.
Well, I don't know. I mean, I think it was
a doctor's not going to do it if you don't need it, right?
It's all very murky, the whole, what the surgery did, how much it'll help.
He didn't play for such a long time, and all of a sudden, oh, you know what? I'm going to get this cut
off. But it wasn't even a big surgery from what we understand.
Correct.
Yeah.
So why didn't he have it done?
Well, it seemed like they were waiting to find exactly what the right surgery was, and there was some indecision as to what would work best.
So he took all that time off to have a scope.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Correct.
It's like...
Yeah.
That doesn't make sense to me.
It's mismanagement at yet another level.
But Ben, here's one of the problems, at least as I understand it, based on things Spike has said. There's no surgery known to fix the problem.
Right. You're not going to be able to put the shock absorber back in there.
Right.
Right. There might be multiple procedures that need to be done that you just can't.
I mean, don't they say there's a? John, you're so much better at this stuff than me. But is it cartilage? You're saying if you don't have cartilage, then you get bone on bone.
That's bone on bone.
Yeah, and that's it. Mm-hmm. Like, there's no regrowth of that, right?
Well, here's the thing. Now they can do some things. They can do things. I don't know that they can do things for Joel.
Yeah,